Luke 24:13-32. Now on the same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them what things. They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be commended to death and crucified him. But he had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of the group astonished us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to Tom and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that prophets and declare. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but he urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, then gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us?" This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you to Hannah for reading the scripture passage of the road to Emmaus. And it is a long passage, so I'm so thankful Hannah did such a great job. It is a passage that talks about Jesus and a meal that he actually had with the disciples, the two other disciples of his many followers. And it is a passage that talks about the special meal, good food, good fellowship, and how these persons were transformed with this meal that they had with Jesus. But first, let us pray. Lord, I ask that you guide my words, that these words reflect your will as you show us in the scriptures, and that we also think about these words and how they affect our lives. For Lord, we know that we can learn from the Gospels and the stories of your Son, Jesus Christ, and how we can be better faithful disciples and sons and daughters to you. We ask that we have these reflections and that they are acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So this past week, I had the fun opportunity to deliver to Casteller Elementary School the goodie bags that were passed last week. And what was really fun is Jonathan Yu signed, I think, 2 or 3 cards, and he put his name and Casteller class of 2010. So then what happened is the teacher that got that card showed the principal, and they pulled out the class of 2010 yearbook, and they saw Jonathan Yu's photo as a little, I think he was in fifth grade then. But it was such a fun connection, and the teacher really appreciated, because it's not often, and I'm sure our teachers here can, you know, share as well, that they get to hear from the students later. Because I did then share with the principal and that teacher that Jonathan is just actually this Friday, he moved to Boston to start his freshman year at Tufts University, and how proud the teacher was to be part of that connection of his education. So I'm thinking about teachers and about Christ, how he was the greatest teacher that we have. And I want you to think about in your own life who you had who was a great teacher. Was it someone that was a parent figure, or a teacher you actually had in school, or a professor in college? Was it an aunt or an uncle or a dear friend or a colleague at work, or someone that you were involved in a ministry with? So just take a few seconds to think about a teacher, a great teacher you had in your life. Hopefully it didn't take you long to think of a great teacher you had in your life. And now I invite you to turn to someone near you in the pew and just share who that person was. So hopefully everyone had a chance to share with each other just that person, who that great teacher was. And thinking about that person, what qualities did they have? The Orange County Parenting Magazine lists top qualities of a good teacher. They say that a good teacher is trustworthy, a good teacher is patient, a good teacher is inspiring, a good teacher is a clear communicator. A good teacher also leads by example. And two of the greatest characteristics of a good teacher are that they, one, guide the person in their life, and two, have a lasting impact, even though they themselves may not hear about it. So when we think about who we have in our life and all the good teachers we've had, a parent, an aunt, an uncle, a teacher in school, a coworker, or a really close friend, all these people who taught us many things. But the person who we should have as our greatest teacher and our greatest model before us is Christ. Christ is our greatest teacher. He is the one who guides our life. He is the one who has a lasting impact on who we are, on what we do, and how we live our lives. Christ seeks to do these things in our lives, and he did this also in the lives of the disciples. We know that as he was in ministry with them, he taught them many things. He interpreted the Old Testament scriptures that they had in new ways, and he shared with them how they can then be disciples to other people. And the disciples, they followed him, and they were patient, and they were devoted, and they were so engrossed in the ministry that they have that it wasn't just this core group of 12 disciples, but many other disciples and followers that were part of Jesus' ministry. But Jesus always taught these core disciples and these other devoted followers during his time of ministry. Even towards the end of his life, he continued to teach them and to tell them of the importance of believing in him and his teachings. So after his death and resurrection, we know that Jesus appeared a few times, and even during these times, he wanted to continue to guide his followers, his faithful disciples, and to have a continued impact on their lives. We know that Jesus appeared before Mary and the women at the empty tomb. He appeared before the disciples who had hid and locked themselves in the upper room after his death and resurrection. And also after his death and resurrection, Jesus appeared before Thomas, the disciple who we know doubted and needed to actually touch Jesus' side that had been healed. And we know that Jesus also appeared before the disciples and the people who were fishing by the seashore after his death and resurrection. And one of the greatest appearances, they say, that Jesus did before his followers after his death and resurrection was on that road to Emmaus. And in this encounter, Jesus ends up sharing a meal with two of his followers, and he is connecting with them during this meal. He is seeing their brokenness during this meal, and he is giving them faith and new direction and path of life. We ourselves, as followers of Christ, are on our own road to Emmaus, and we hope to encounter Jesus and be inspired by Jesus and to learn more about our own faith. For Jesus was a leader, a prophet to them, a teacher to them. And on this road to Emmaus, he first appears in a way hidden. They do not recognize at first that Jesus is before them. But think about the mindset of these two people on the road. They've just experienced the death of Jesus and seen how he had been captured and arrested and put on unfair trial. And they'd seen how Jesus had been beaten and tortured and persecuted right before their eyes and died on the cross. So we can imagine the mindset of these two followers. And it wasn't after Jesus' death that all the followers gathered in one core concrete place and set a plan before them. We know it is not till many, many years later, until the work of Paul and the other apostles, that more concrete plans form. So we see right after Jesus' resurrection, after Jesus had been, his body had been emptied at the tomb, and after the women had heard from the angels about the resurrection and told the other disciples, that these two other disciples are on the road, a village, they say, to Emmaus, going that way, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And we see that these two followers are talking to each other about the things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing these things, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But the disciples, their eyes were closed. Their eyes were kept from recognizing Jesus before them. And he asked them a simple question. What are you discussing with each other while you walk along? Because he saw that the disciples had looked sad. For this core key moment in their lives, how they had just experienced Jesus' death and heard some news of his resurrection was deep on their minds. They say that the disciples were thinking about only what was happening as they were leaving Jerusalem. And they were mourning and then they were sad. And they say that the disciples were discerning their faith. What would happen next? What would happen because they no longer had Christ before them? They no longer had that teacher, that model that they always followed. And this road to Emmaus was a road that took them out of Jerusalem. They say this road where they were was they at the point in the road, they were already 7 miles away from Jerusalem. They were not in the center of the holy city where they probably should have been, but instead they were walking away because they were unsure and they were doubting their faith. This is a journey that they were taken, but Jesus was connecting with them on this journey. He met them on this road, a place where he knew they would be and where they would be talking about what was happening. We know this road might have been a road home, this place of Emmaus, a home for one of the disciples. So it makes sense that they were comfortable then and sharing what they had experienced and walking home. Just like I appreciate that Wah has shared about Jason traveling to his home back in San Diego for school and how the parents worried until he arrived safely at his destination. For the road to Emmaus was a destination for the disciples where they wanted to be, where they probably could have been with family, where they could have been with other mourners, where they could have been felt more secure and comforted because of all the chaos that had just recently happened in their lives. It is on this road to Emmaus that Jesus reaches out first and connects to them. But an interesting thing is that the disciples, they do not recognize him. They says that their eyes were kept from recognizing him because they still had so much doubt, so much fear, so much anxiety in their faith. They needed to discern first what it meant to follow not Christ or Jesus, the human that was before them, who was alongside them, the human they saw that had been arrested and died on the cross. But they needed to understand what it meant to believe in the resurrected Christ. And they still had not reached that point yet of believing in the resurrected Christ. But Jesus was a teacher who was patient, who knew he could guide their life. And so he connected it with them purposely on that road. So Jesus does ask them, what are they talking about? And he knows that they are looking so sad. And the people, the two disciples, one of them we know was named Cleopas, they answered him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that does not know the things that have taken place these days? And he asked them, what things? They were so perplexed that Jesus didn't know, or the stranger before them, did not know what they were talking about. It's a major event that happened. You know, lately, the major events in the news that we see, maybe the hurricanes that had happened in Hawaii, or the major news with the president, we all know these things are happening and we talk about it. If I were to ask you, for example, 9/11, September 11th, do you remember where you were that day or what you were doing? If you do, raise your hand. Most of us do. If you don't, you're probably 10 and under, right? Like age-wise. but major events that happen, we know about them. We remember where we were. And for September 11th, I'm sure for the next few days or months or years, you would continue to talk about them and think about them. It was a topic of discussion when you met people. Or I know often when I was doing campus ministry then, when I would encounter the students, we would hug each other just for comfort and security because we were so uncertain of what was happening in this world. It was a major event that everyone knew about. And so for the disciples to meet this stranger on the road, not too far from Jerusalem, but a stranger who asked what they were talking about and not knowing what they were talking about, they were very perplexed. And that's why they said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that does not know what has taken place?" Jesus, though, is this form of a stranger before them, knew what had happened, but he still wants to connect with them. He wants them to be able to grieve and to share their sadness and to share what they were experiencing. But he knows that if they had recognized him first as Jesus, they might not have done that. It's sort of as if I came in and said to you, "Okay, let's talk about this scripture passage," and you might think, "Well, I'm the pastor and I have to have all the right answers and I might not be able to ask my questions." And Jesus knew that if he was specifically their leader before them, they might hold back on their true emotions or feelings. So he asked them what things, and they reply about them. They say the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before of God and all the people. And they shared with Jesus, or the stranger who they thought was before them, about how the chief priests and the leaders had handed Jesus over and how Jesus had been condemned to death and crucified. And he said they shared with Jesus that he had been the hope, the one that would redeem Israel. Jesus is connecting with the disciples and letting them share all that they had experienced, how they felt betrayed by the leaders who had taken Jesus, how they were sad and scared because of his death and his crucifixion, and how they wondered then how this person was to be the hope for Israel, and maybe it wasn't, or they were sharing their doubts and fears. And Jesus saw all this because he knew that they were broken people, but he still wanted to connect with them on that road to Emmaus. And he knows that even though this is the third day and the tomb had been empty and the word had begun to spread that his body was no longer there and it was fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament that he would be resurrected, he knew that the disciples were still broken and they were still lost and they were still unsure. But we must remember that in covenants that we have with God, in our great covenant with God, even though we doubt, even though we fear, even though we sin and go away from that covenant, God never breaks that covenant with us. God always keeps his promise. And Jesus' presence there before the disciples was God keeping his promise to them. For the disciples had explained there was an empty tomb, and the disciples had explained that the women did not find a body there, and how angels told that he was alive. The disciples knew in their mind all that information, but yet they had not felt it in their heart. And Jesus was there to help them heal that brokenness, to help them understand all that in their heart. They say that Jesus' appearance there on that road to Emmaus, first before them, was an outward appearance as a stranger they saw before them who they could share all that they were feeling. And then Jesus became an inward feeling when he finally revealed himself to them through that meal of shared bread they had. But Jesus was only able to reveal himself to them because they first, as the disciples, had to remember the teachings of Christ, had to remember what Christ taught them to do and how Christ taught them to be disciples. For Christ gave them the greatest commandment, first to love God with all their heart, mind, and soul, and the second greatest commandment to love one another, to help the stranger, to show hospitality. And on that road, as they were nearing their town of Emmaus, they then invited the stranger in for a meal, telling the stranger, "It is late, stay with us," and they gave him a meal. And finally, as they were giving a meal to Jesus, to the stranger, then Jesus was revealed, because they were acting as Christ had taught them to do, to be hospitable, to feed the stranger, to clothe the person, and to always love one another just as they love themselves. So we know then in verse 31 from this morning's passage that then and finally then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. But first Jesus had that meal with them that they gave him the bread. And Jesus then took the bread, he broke the bread, blessed the bread, and gave it to them. He was revealing himself again to them so that they saw that it was truly Christ before them. And after Jesus had vanished from their sight, they then said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while we were talking about him on the road, and he was opening the scriptures to us?" We know that while they thought that Jesus was a stranger, they were just talking about their faith, because Jesus was allowing them to do that, giving them the time to discern. And then finally, when they remembered the teachings of Jesus and offered food to this stranger and home and hospitality, then they were finally able to see Jesus revealed before them. Because they know that the hour was time for them, in verse 33 then, to get up and return to Jerusalem, not to flee or leave Jerusalem, but to go back to Jerusalem, to find the other disciples, and as companions they gathered there together. We ourselves are on our own road to Emmaus, where we might have doubts, we might need time to discern where our faith is and what Jesus Christ really means in our life, but we must remember that Jesus will truly be revealed to us when we follow his teachings, when we also offer hospitality and love to the stranger, when we greet one another, and when we are in companionship and fellowship with one another as well. For Christ reveals himself to us in these actions, so we as disciples must remember the words of Christ to love one another and to love God with all our hearts, our minds, and souls, and to not doubt God in our own lives, and to follow Christ faithfully, so then Christ can reveal himself to us. And when you are on your own spiritual journey, your own path, and your own faith walk, that road to Emmaus that we all take, remember to look for Christ. Remember to learn from his teachings and to act on them, because Jesus is this great teacher who guides our life and has an impact on our life. And then remember that Jesus, when he talked about breaking the bread in this morning's passage, it was again a symbolic of his body that was broken. And the disciples then realized, yes, his body was broken, and he was a sacrifice for us. And then they knew what they needed to do after Jesus was revealed. And even though Jesus physically again vanished before their eyes, they knew that they must return to Jerusalem, to that holy city, to join the other disciples, and to continue in that ministry, that great commission, that call to go out and make other disciples. For on that road to Emmaus, Jesus broke bread and shared a meal with people. He connected with the disciples. He saw their brokenness, but gave them a direction in faith. And as we are on our own road to Emmaus, we must remember to always connect with Jesus Christ, to reveal our own brokenness, our own doubts, our own fears, to talk to Christ and to hear from his teachings. So then we have the path set before us by Christ, just as Jesus did when he shared the meal with the disciples at Emmaus. Let us pray. Lord, we know this is a shorter message this Sunday, but we know that we can learn from the road to Emmaus and the encounter that the disciples had. For we must recognize both Jesus outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly in the people that we meet and greet, whether it be in the park today, this afternoon, or our coworkers, or friends that we have, or the stranger on the street. But also inwardly, we must recognize Christ in our hearts and to follow his teachings, for he gives us all this great advice and wisdom and ways to be. And Lord, we just ask that you use us as instruments of your love so that we may show Christ to this world, so that we know as ours our own brokenness is healed, that we can be used to heal the brokenness of this world, that we have been given your love and grace and mercy through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are thankful for this, and we pray these in your Son's name. Amen.